You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, the scripture reading today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. But for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
All right. Well, I think I've got everything switched on, which makes a change. We've had a lot of rain out our way, and we've got a pond, which is just north of our property, and it's just about ready to overflow, which wouldn't be a big deal, except for the fact that just across the road, there's a new built house lower. And so we've got to pump it out and make sure it doesn't break the banks, as it were, and cause a flood. So we got that running even now. And we've had just so much flooding where we are. The people up the road from us, we just took a little tour this morning before coming to church. And boy, there's a lot of cleanup needed around the houses. And so it's good to have the rain. We just need it spread out a little bit more. But it's great. So maybe that's going to put a serious dent on this drought we've got. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together to open the scriptures. We thank thee for this book which we've learned so much from. And we ask your blessing on each life here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, we've gone through some really neat things. Last time we were looking at this whole thing about head coverings, and we saw the doctrine of headship come up, which is very interesting, and we saw the shadow and the reality. And that basically is how things were going in the book of 1 Corinthians in many, many different ways, even prior to coming to this in chapter 11. If you start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, for example, there you find this great baptism which occurred, and there's certainly a shadow and a reality associated there. We saw this passage in 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And as I was pointing out, that Christ in that particular time, in that particular era, was ministering to the nation of Israel and giving them the advantage. And as we go through this, and we look, for example, at the second verse, where he says, "Now I praise you," this "I praise you" is quite interesting, because he later on says, "I praise you not." So right here he says, "I praise you, brethren," for what reason? "That you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances." Where it says ordinances, it means the traditions. That's what it means. The ordinances are the traditions, "as I deliver them to you." So here we have particular traditions which were delivered to the Corinthians, and Paul is praising them because they remembered him in all things, and that they would keep these traditions in the same way that he actually delivered them to them. And that's an important point. Now, when you examine this, if you just come to me, this whole idea of the headship is important. Just look at this in chapter 11, in verse 16. It says, "But if any man seem to be contentious..." So after this whole building up of teaching and doctrine, which portrays this tradition that Paul is bringing in and redefining various other traditions and bringing them and pulling them all together to give this doctrine, he says in verse 16, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." So one thing we could say about this, if we're going to draw a little picture here, now this is not a self-portrait, but you know, you've got this, you know, curly-headed monster here, and here he is,
he's maybe attempting to be contentious and maybe wanting to go against the traditions that were delivered. And Paul says, no, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So in other words, if you want to come to the Bible as a glorified buffet meal and get yourself into the book of Acts and get into the teaching of the book of Acts and accept the teaching of the book of Acts, then to be consistent, you're going to have to find yourself in a situation where you're stuck, because there is no contradiction within those churches. Paul, in the book of Acts, is consistent. And if you try and bust out of those traditions, you're going to have a serious problem. And the only way to really get out of that system and understand the doctrine for today is to rightly divide and then come to, yes, Paul, but Paul the prisoner, because Paul the prisoner does this. Let's show you what I mean by this.
If you go across to the book of Colossians in chapter 2, remember the doctrine that was built up in here concerning the headship issue. And the headship issue is kind of interesting, because the Jews had a kippah. They had this idea that when they'd pray, they'd put something on their head. And the Gentile women, they had a tradition also of wearing a veil. And so during that time, Paul says, well, it's not right for the man to have a covering, but it is right for the woman. So the women could reinterpret their tradition, but the Jewish men would have to alter it.
Alter what they had as their own tradition and accept something new.
So here's in Colossians chapter 2. When we go to Colossians, we're going across the great divide, man. We're going into some new country. We're getting off at L.A., you know. We got on at, down in the southern hemisphere, and then all of a sudden, 12 hours later, we're new country, new air. I don't know if you've ever traveled, but it's really interesting to travel and then get off in a new country and take a whiff. Many places just smell different. They're totally different. And it's like that when you go to New Zealand, actually. When you go to New Zealand, the air is kind of more dense and cool, and it has a different smell in your nostril. And then when you get off at L.A., there's another smell there, too. And I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying it's different. You know, there's a different smell. Well, there's a different smell here, man, when you cross this great divide. And it's a good smell. It's a really nice smell. Have you smelled wild roses in the spring? And the wind gets on it and wafts it up and it gets in your nostrils. I remember getting up early in the morning when I was a younger man. And I used to go running and I'd smell the smell, man. And I'd get on a natural high. I felt like I could just run forever. Well, it's really like that here too. You know, there's a new smell, a new country. And you've seen Colossians 2 verse 8, which is a very familiar one to you. And it says, beware lest any man spoil you. So it starts off with this sort of negative thing. Watch out that any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And not after Christ. And the point I made here is that Christ is central to this. Christ is central during the book of Acts. The difference is, during the book of Acts, Christ is ministering to Israel, and he's using all sorts of emblems, all sorts of pictures and ideas and traditions to teach things. And as you go on in verse 9, it says, for in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. The fullness, the pleroma. All of the fullness dwells in Christ. And therefore, to get in touch with Christ is to come in touch with the fullness. There's all sorts of gaps in the Bible. There's all sorts of ways in which God fills in those gaps. Yes. And those gaps usually come about through God's judgment. And then he gives something new and he fills that gap in. Well, there was a great judgment here, my friends. There was this great judgment at the end of the book of Acts.
And here you have got this great judgment that came on Israel, and then the salvation of God sent to the Gentile people. That is, the peoples, the nations. And God gave a new message through Paul the prisoner. So Acts 28, there was a judgment on Israel. There was a great gap, and into that gap there was some filling. You ever had a tooth decay? I mean, I hate going to the dentist, but there's one time I don't mind going to the dentist, and that's when I've got a real toothache, man. Give me a dentist. I want pain. You know?
I want it filled in. All right, I want it fixed. The only trouble is with the dentist, it's usually temporary, and sometime later you've got to go again and again and again, and you get into this money train of having to pay up all this stuff for fillings. Well, when God does something, He does something fantastic with His fillings. And here we have Jesus Christ, the fullness. And then it says in verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head. Oh, the head! Hold the phone! Now we've got the head being mentioned here. The head of all principality and power. So here is Christ. Up in verse 8, it says, tradition of men, rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It doesn't say, and not after the traditions of Christ, or the rudiments of Christ, but after Christ. And coming on down, I mean, it's so good all this here, I don't want to skip past it, but I'm going to have to. Come on down here, in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in the respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or the Sabbath. What's all this? These are all the shadows, man. These are the shadows. They're nice things. These things are what religions like to play with. You know, this fancy calendar of events, this fancy stuff to do with, don't touch that, you can't touch that, that's unclean, don't take that. And you got to not drink this, and you can drink that, and you cannot eat that, and you can eat this, and all these things. And then he says in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body, that means the substance is of Christ. That's the reality. And that's what Paul's directing us to, right? So you have this whole idea of the headship, meaning the source. Christ is the source of everything. He is the fullness. He's the thing that fills in all the gaps. He's the one that blows all the traditions out the window. Yeah, but where do you learn about the fullness of Christ? Where do you learn about this wonderful revelation of the mystery kept secret from other ages? You've got to go to Paul the prisoner, because you're not going to find it anywhere else. And if you deny that, hello! Welcome to the jail. Now you say you're being extreme. Not really. Not really. If you look at how people can live their lives, you think about it in a country like the United States of America, where you have so much promised in liberty through the Constitution, and yet people will voluntarily enslave themselves, and not only enslave themselves, want to make us enslaved with them. There comes a time when we've got to say, hey, hold the phone, man. Let no man therefore judge you. You've got to take a stand, man. You've got to make it plain. No, we're not going to be judged by you. We're going to stand up for liberty, and you're not going to put us under any of these traditions. You're not going to put us under a kingdom. Isn't that appropriate? Can you see the parallels that are going on between the revelation of the mystery and the freedoms we have, and what other Christians want to do with this, and try and bring us back into bondage, and then what people today want us to do, and go back to some British kingdom philosophy, right? And put us under a government that's going to put us into shackles. There's a lot of parallel going on there, man. A lot of stuff happening there. It needs to be put into a book. Right? It needs to happen. And I might be the man to do it. I might be. I'm not going to promise. I'm not going to say I'm going to do something and then I don't do it. But I might be the man to do it. Coming on down here, look what it says. It says this, verse 18, let no man beguile you. Wait a minute. It says, let no man judge you, and then it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Yeah, those are problems specific to when these things began to be taught. But look at verse 19, and here it comes again. What we read over here about, you know, these traditions to do with headship. Now, what's this? And not holding the head. Well, man, if we're going to hold the head, all these traditions are going to go out the window, man. Gone. From which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Increase. That's what we want, right? What we want is not fat around the girth. What we want is increase in the sense of liberty, in effectiveness, getting to work for God and doing the job. There's a lot of good preaching in here, my friends. Oh, man. It's just full of great things. I mean, you with me in this? Don't you see what's going on here? It's just beautiful. And for Americans, oh, man, they're just missing out on so much here. You know, the people who come so far in understanding, Christian people, I mean, who understand the importance of the founding generation and the Constitution and all these things, and yet not to see this, it seems like a shame. It just seems like a shame they miss this. Well, that's our job then, right? We got a job. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. So when we're going back to 1 Corinthians, we understand we're going back to a time when there were shadows being taught. Right? But we're going to hold the head. And when we hold the head, who is Christ, all these traditions vaporized, man. Gonzo. Okay, so in chapter 11... it says in verse 16, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the church of God. Yeah, you put yourself into the book of Acts, you're stuck in jail. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. Okay. So in verse 2, I praise you because they remembered him. And now in verse 17, I praise you not. That ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Okay, something's going on when they meet together. And it says, for first of all, okay, now this is a very interesting construction in the Greek text. Because what you expect is later on and second. When he says, for first of all, you expect to find somewhere later and second. It doesn't happen. Where he starts here, he just leaves it. So what this tells me is that there are a lot of things that actually he could say. But what he does is he just stays on the first thing and he keeps there because it's the most important thing. Yeah, there are a lot of issues going on in the Corinthian church, which reminds us again, unfortunately, the Corinthian church was a carnal church overall. I mean, they did some terrible things. Still Christians, still saved, right? And it says this, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. Divisions. Sometimes you've got to divide. And you're going to see later on that there are people in here who do divide and stand up and create, as it were, an even stronger division. But look what it says. And I partly believe it. I believe this in part. Oh, hold the phone, Paul. Why didn't you believe it all? He says, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. What's the it? Well, that's what he heard. He partly believes the thing that he heard concerning these divisions. So, here's something that you've got to learn about people. A good lesson to learn. When you hear things, don't just immediately believe it all. Paul wouldn't. He said, I believe it in part. Right? There's only part of this. There's lots of parts to this, this news that I hear, but I'm only going to believe part of it. You know, you get a lot of stuff coming through the news media. Do you believe it all? Man, most of it's trash. Right? Most of it's nonsense. And what you've got, are these peddlers of news making money out of it. And what they're doing is they're saying one thing, and behind the scenes they're listening to some other voice. Well, if you say this, I'll give you a bit of that, you know. And what you've got is a money thing going on, where, hey, follow the money, and there you'll find what's really happening. For there must be also heresies. Verse 19. Oh, this teaches me so much. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. What? Yeah. Here's something. Should we be all disconcerted about, oh, it's so negative, man. It's all happening. It's just terrible. It's all going to happen bad. You know, Seppi knows some Persian for this, you know. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, there's a saying they use. Man, me doing that. Can't do anything. You know, it's at it. But you know what we should see in all this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to do two things. Number one thing is to show yourself approved. That's one big thing. Here's an opportunity, man. We've got an opportunity. Number one, in terms of this church and its teaching about the right division. Number two, concerning the Constitution. There's a political parallel just going right alongside virtually everything I teach from the book of 1 Corinthians and concerning right. There's a parallel message in just about all of this. And number two, the other thing is, so that we can recognize those who are in the fray fighting for the truth, to recognize those people, right? Recognize those people who are standing up for the right things. Look what he says. For there must be also heresies. What are heresies? These are teachings among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you, may be made plain. You know, sometimes there are people that are working in the shadows. And you don't even really hear about them. But you know something? They've got something to add. They've got something to contribute. And when these things occur, stand up. You might be the next person that God's going to use to make an effect on this population. And don't say, well, I'm not a speaker. I'm no good at teaching. Hey, you might be just the person that someone will listen to. There's a gentleman that I know, who's now, I believe he's in Brisbane in Australia, but he's a man that came to the Lord, and he's actually a Samoan guy. The guy is massive. And when I say massive, I mean muscle, man. His arms are like this, and his forearms are like this. You know? The biggest guy that I've ever seen was a Samoan. It's not this guy, but he's almost as big. When I went to Samoa, we got off the plane, this is a young man, and there were taxis, and they would transport you to the city in Apia. And, okay, he said, come with me, okay, I've got a taxi. Okay, so we'd go with him. And when I looked at him, I thought, man, this guy's big. And he opens the door, and where you'd normally see a seat, he had a reconstructed seat that was made out of timber that was flat on the bottom of the car, because there's no way he could fit in any other way. I mean, he slid into this thing, and he was all, not a stitch of fat on him. No, not a bit of fat on him, man. Just total muscle. Well, this guy that I'm talking about, he's a similar way. And before he was saved, he was working as a bouncer in one of these nightclubs. You know what a bouncer is? Yeah, okay. He was a bouncer in a nightclub. Scars on him, you know. You never would want to mess with him. You know what I mean? He looks like he would kill you. You know what I'm saying? You know that guy today? He's a big teddy bear. He's a big teddy bear. He came to Christ. Life completely changed. Completely changed. And now he can speak to an audience that I could never, ever reach. Ever. He can do it. He can reach them. And I'm thinking, you know, isn't that very true? Some people can be made manifest through opportunity, and God will use their background in a way that could never use you. In verse 20, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Okay, so when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. What's happening here? What they're doing is, they are perverting this picture, this memorial, and using it as an eating meeting. They're drinking it up, man. Oh, man. You know, can you imagine the scene? Supposed to be remembering the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ in the context of the new covenant. And what are they doing? Holy, hey. You know? And that's their spirit, right? They're getting into the Scotch whiskey and whatever else, and they're hooting it up, man. Getting into the burgers and... Oh, yeah. Verse 22, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Again. Big, interesting comparison between the praise that for those that followed Paul and those that did not. For I have received of the Lord, here it goes. Now he's now going to explain the whole context of what should be going on when they do come together to remember the Lord. Now look at it. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Oh, the same night. Well, that takes us back to something that the Lord did during his earthly ministry with Israel, takes us back to the Passover, connecting with the Passover. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body. This is the unleavened bread now that he's breaking, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. We talked about the cup, right? So I won't go through that again. Talking about this cup. This is a tradition that's been brought in. Can you see how all this stuff welds together with what he's talking about, traditions and stuff? It's all the same thing. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So he says, as oft as ye drink. And verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Oh, hold the phone there, man. So, what's going on here during the book of Acts? You got the Spirit of God given. So the Holy Spirit is given here. They're going out in the power of the Spirit of God. In chapter 3 and verse 19 and following, you find that there's a condition made upon the outworking of things in conjunction with the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ is nigh at hand. So here where he says, let's just read it together, where he says in verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That coming is not thought of in context as something 2,000 years later. So get that out of your head. When he says that, he's meaning real soon, man, real soon. The time is now. Right? So right soon, Christ is going to come, do this in remembrance of him. And it's in this context of the soon coming of Christ that you get this observance of this new covenant feast. Right? There it is. New covenant. Who was given the new covenant? Well, the same group of people who were given the old covenant, Jeremiah 31:31, Hebrews chapter 8. The same group of people, Israel. So why are these people getting involved with the new covenant then? Well, they're getting involved with the new covenant because they were grafted unnaturally into the olive of Israel to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. That's why they're in there. This, my friends, is not our meal. Why is it not our meal? For the same reason that those other traditions are not, right? They were there for Israel's sake. They were there as Israel's picture book.
We don't have a hope associated with Israel, the hope of Israel. Ours is eternal in the heavens.
Ours is something separate that God kept away from all the prophets.
So what people do today is they jump in here, and once they jump in here, they get lost in here. They get in jail. They get stuck in jail. Go to jail. They play the Monopoly game, and they always end up in jail. Right? They're always there. And they can't get out. Why can't they get out? Because no one tells them about Acts 28. They don't get the key. You know, the key to the lock. That's going to open and get them out of there. They can't get it. And they're stuck in here forever. Unless we come to them and say, hey man, you need to hear. You need to hear the truth.
You need to hear about Paul the prisoner. And he goes on, he says this, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, unworthily, unworthily. Now, when I was first taught this, I was in a church where, man, unworthy people could not partake of the Lord's Supper. Unworthy people. That is, people who've got, you know, sin in their life. They would look at you. Yeah. You got sin in your life. Better bypass this little, you know, cup of you know, grape juice. Even though the Bible says wine. Bypass it because you're an unworthy person. Oh, hold the phone. Look at this word here. This is, in English, unworthily. Is that not an adverb? Does that not modify a verb? Well, what are the verbs here? Well, the verb here is eat this bread, drink this cup, to eat or to drink. It's the manner in which you eat or drink. That's what he's talking about. We're all unworthy. If this was given to us to practice today, we'd have to say that we're all unworthy, aren't we? What do you mean? We're all, you know, we're great, aren't we? What went on in your mind just the other day? Or just the other second? What did you see the other day? What thought went into your head when you were watching TV the other day and watched that movie? Right? You know that you're a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. We're all unworthy. We're all unworthy. But he's talking about something else. He's talking about the nature by which this communion was partaken of. The way it was eaten and drunk. That's what he's talking about. Well, okay, carrying on. And then he goes on, for he that, in verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, making it quite plain, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Okay, so now what's he saying? Well, he's now going to explain exactly what he means and what's going to be the punishment for doing, the judgment, because you see there's condemnation coming. What's the condemnation? Here it comes. I mean, if you want to go back into jail, man, you don't want to accept the key that Paul is offering to us, you know, this
great key that he's giving in the form of right division. If you want to go back in here, okay, but there's going to be some consequences. There's going to be some serious consequences if you go back in here.
What are they? For this cause many are weak. That's negative, right? That's negative. You know, sick is bad. And it says weak and sickly among you. Bad. And many are asleep. What does that mean? Does that mean they just went for a snooze? Well, the context is negative. So when it says sleep, we know what it means. It means to die. Right? So they die. You say,
oh, right division is no big deal. We can take or leave whatever we want. Okay, then go back in here and be consistent. We ought to see people dying who eat and drink the communion emblems in an unworthy fashion. There are plenty of people who do.
And they will absolutely laugh at God today while doing it. There is a blasphemous outfit, really blasphemous group, who do this. It goes on.
and I don't see them dying. I don't see them weak or sickly. And it says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Yeah, okay, so you straighten yourselves out, you judge yourselves, and then you wouldn't be judged. In what fashion? In this fashion, dying, getting sickly and weak. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Yeah, in a pretty strict kind of way too. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Wait for each other. Don't get stuck into the food like you were at a party or something. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together under condemnation. So when you eat this feast, this communion, wait for each other. Don't dive in like it's some sort of meal to gouge out on. And he says, and the rest will I set in order when I come. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So here is the order for now. Until he comes, here's order, right? This is the order, my friends. There's order. And if you're living in those days, then you better get that order. But my friends, there is another order. Something far superior and far more free. And it comes to us by Paul the prisoner. Well, man, I'll tell you something. This is a message for every new believer, that they can be set free from tradition. They can be set free from organized religion and be made more effective for Christ. We're not talking about be made free to live carnally. That's not what we're saying. We're saying you can be made free to be more effective for God and not be shackled into all kinds of traditions. And, well, we can say more about this, but, you know, here's a little slide I was beginning to make. So will you take the traditions or will you take the substance? You know, I made the traditions on a bit of an angle because it's a slippery slope. You know, you want to live in the shadows or do you want the reality, the substance? Are you going to hold the head or are you going to be put into the traditions of Israel? I want liberty, man. Give me liberty or give me death. Right? Well, I want liberty. I want freedom and I want it from God. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've had together, Lord, for all that we've learnt in this marvellous chapter of 1 Corinthians. Pray, Lord, that we'd ever learn more, be open to more understanding. And we ask, Lord, that You bless this church, everyone in it. We think of those who are unwell, Lord, that You would reach their needs and perform that which is of Thy will, and we would accept it, Lord, whatever it be. And we pray for our country, Lord, and for the United States, Lord, that it would come back to its roots and that Christians would come to see the liberty they can have in Christ, understanding the revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. We ask You'd use us, that we would be made manifest and that we'd see those who are being made manifest and support them. In Christ's name, amen.
His name.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening and be sure and study your Bible today.